We're commencing our worship of the Lord this morning by singing the words of the Psalm 1, that man hath perfect blessedness who walketh not astray in counsel of ungodly men, nor stands in sinners' way. The Psalm 1, and we're keeping our seats while we sing this opening psalm. Let us just bow together in prayer. Let us take time just to settle ourselves and to commit our service into the hands of the Lord this morning. Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we rejoice that we are found in Thy house. We recognize that Thou art King of kings and Lord of lords, that Thy throne is far above the thrones of men. We think of those seraphims and how coming before Thee, they covered their faces with their wings. And falling down, they cried out, "Holy, holy, holy." We recognize that Thou art the thrice holy God. And Lord, we come to Thee this morning, not on our own holiness, but we come to Thee today through the righteousness, the perfect righteousness of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that through Him we have access into Thy immediate presence. We rejoice also this morning that we come to Thee not as rebels, but we come to Thee as sons, those who have been born again by Thy Spirit. And Lord, we thank Thee this morning for the life that we have within. We thank Thee for the joy that we experience in Thee, for Thy peace that passeth all understanding. And Lord, as we come into Thy presence this morning, we pray that Thou wouldst come and that Thou wouldst stand in our midst. It is Thy presence that maketh the difference. And so we pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst come and not only stand amongst us, but touch our eyes that we might see Thee by the eye of faith, touch our my lips even today, that we might be able to praise Thee. And Lord, even this place, that we might be able even also to speak for Thee as well. We remember those who are not able to be with us. We think, Lord, of many in our congregation, even at this time, not well. We thank Thee that Thou art that great physician. And Lord, we pray that Thou wouldst draw near to them, even in the time of darkness, and that Thou wouldst speak to them words of comfort, that Thou wouldst lift them up, and that Thou would be pleased even to touch their bodies at this time as well. We cry to Thee, O God, that Thou wouldst even come among us now this morning as we read the Scriptures of truth. Lord, open them to us. And we pray that we might hear Thy still small voice speaking to us this day. So, Lord, draw us out after Thyself. We recognize that Thou hast a plan for each of Thy children's lives. And we pray, Lord, reveal Thy footsteps to us. And we pray that Thou wouldst enable us to walk in that way, so that in all that we do, that we might glorify Thy name. Remember Thy servants as they stand behind the sacred desks in different places across the land today. Lord, give them help. We think even of Thy servants who are on holiday at this time. We pray, encourage them as well. Those, Lord, who are not well, come alongside of them. And we pray, undertake for them as well. So, Lord, we commit our gathering into Thine hands. We pray, be with us now and bless us. For we ask these things in Thy name and for Thy glory. Amen. We're turning in our Bibles this morning to the New Testament, and we're turning to the Gospel of Mark and to the chapter 5. The Gospel of Mark and the chapter 5. The Gospel of Mark, the chapter 5. We're breaking into the chapter at the verse 22. Mark 5, the verse 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, that is the Lord, he fell at his feet and besought him gently, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with them, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Then we're skipping down to the verse 35. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any farther? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and saith unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his own precious word to each of our hearts. At this stage of our service, we're going to ask our clerk of session to come and to make the necessary announcements for the incoming week.
Well, good morning, everyone. Glad to see you out at God's house this morning. I'd like to welcome the Reverend and Mrs. Samuel Murray here this morning. And if there are any other visitors, you're most welcome as you join with us for our morning worship service. I'd like to welcome those online as well. You're most welcome as you join with us. May the Lord bless you as you worship with us in the morning service this morning. These are the announcements for the incoming week, and they're very short. First of all, just a reminder of our evening service tonight at 7 p.m., and our own minister, the Reverend Murray, will conduct that meeting, God willing, tonight. Before that service, as always, there will be a time of prayer at 6:15, and that will be held in the Minor Hall. Midweek meeting this week will be on Tuesday at 8 p.m., and this will be our monthly communion service this Tuesday. So all who are saved and walking with the Lord are welcome to attend that meeting, whether you're a member or not. Next week, the services will be at the normal times of 11:30 and 7 p.m., and each of those services will also be preceded by the time of prayer. Last week was our monthly offering for Let the Bible Speak, and that came to £245, and we'd like to thank you once again for your giving to that radio ministry. The Mission Board is organising a drive-in missionary rally to be held, God willing, on Friday the 6th of August at 7:30 at the farm of Mission Board member Mr. Paul Haffey, who has kindly granted his grounds for that purpose. The address is 82 Steps Road, Donnacloney. At that meeting, there will be reports on the missionary work in Kenya and Uganda, special messages in song, and a short closing message by the Reverend Colin Mercer. And I'm sure if you're free on that particular date, that you'd be most welcome to go along to that drive-in rally. These are all the announcements. Thank you.
Do thank our brother for making those announcements. And can I also bid each of you a very warm welcome along to the service. My eyesight must be getting short, but I see now the Reverend Samuel Murray sitting right at the back. We do welcome him and his wife. I'm glad to have them with us in the service here this morning as well. We're turning in our Bibles to the Gospel according to Mark and to the chapter 5. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, and with our Bibles open, we'll stand to our feet just for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the reading of thy precious word. We thank thee that thou art a miracle-working God. We thank thee that there is nothing that thou canst not do. But we cry to thee that even as we come to thy word this morning, Lord, that through thy word that thou wouldst increase our faith. Oh, that we might have the faith that even this man Jairus had. And so, Lord, we pray that even now that you would take away the thoughts of tomorrow, the worries and the fears that so often crowd into our minds, and that thou wouldst set our minds upon thy truth. Oh, that we might see the Saviour even this morning. Lord, to that end I need thy help. Bring to my mind that which thou hast given to us. And we pray by thy Spirit, apply thy truth to each and to every heart. So, Lord, close us in now with thyself. For in the Saviour's name I pray. Amen. Amen. We're turning in our Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Mark, the chapter 5. I want to draw your attention to the passage that we read together. But perhaps we could read just the verses 22 and 23 again. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. In these words, we are introduced to a man by the name of Jairus, From the context, it seems that he was a gifted and a charismatic figure. Working his way up the religious and political ladder, he finally reached the very top. Being elected leader of the synagogue, he occupied one of the most honored positions within the city. More than that, his name literally means whom Jehovah enlightens. However, just when everything seemed to be going extremely well, suddenly his whole world began to cave in around him. His daughter, who was only 12 years of age, was suddenly taken ill. Luke in his gospel tells us that she was his only daughter. Infection spreading through her body, she became like a limp rag doll. Her brow burning up with fever, the doctors were mystified. The clutter of empty medicine bottles bore testimony to their ineffectiveness. The minutes dragging into hours, the hours no doubt seemed like days. Finally, having no more tears to shed and unable to watch her life slipping away, Jairus rising up, he came, he made his way to the Lord, and he fell down before the Lord. Despite being a spiritual leader, a man of great faith, yet we find tragedy, we find trouble entering into his home. You see, not only do good things happen to bad people, but seemingly bad things happen to good people. We're not exempt from troubles and trials and tribulations. Job was pure and upright in his generation. And yet, speaking from his own personal experience, he said in Job 14, verse 1, "Man who is born of woman is a few days." But he didn't stop there. He went on to say, "and full of trouble." And you only have to read through the life of that man, Job, to discover the depths of trouble that swept into his life. You see, in life, you will either be coming from trouble or trouble will be coming for you. You will have trials. You will have troubles. You will have temptations. You will have tribulations along life's road. I remember reading about a man, and he had been traveling all night. Finally exhausted, he pulled into a little lay-by, and he put back his seat to go to sleep. No sooner did he get snuggled into a seat than there came a knock at the window. And looking up, there was a jogger. And the jogger asked him, "What time is it?" He looked at his watch, and he said, "It is 5 p.m. He then snuggled back down into his seat, and he just began to drift over. And again, there was another knock. This time, looking up, there was another jogger. And again, he asked the time. The man, by this stage, annoyed, exhausted, wanting his sleep, he took out his pen and a bit of paper, and he wrote a note, "I don't have the time." And he placed it upon the window of the car, and then he snuggled down. And he just drifted over to sleep. And all of a sudden, there came another knock at the window. You can imagine he was more than frustrated. Straightening himself up and putting down the window, he asked the jogger, "What do you want?" The jogger said, "Mister, I saw your sign. I don't have the time. And I just want you to know that it is now 6 p.m. You see, you can write across the window of your life, "I don't have time for trouble," but trouble will come knocking at your door. It doesn't matter how good a Christian you are. It doesn't matter how great your faith is. It doesn't matter even if you're involved in the service of God, there will be trials. There will be troubles in your life. And more than that, child of God, prepare yourself because there will be tragedies. Just because you are a believer, just because you're walking with the Lord, does not mean that life will be easy, that you'll be exempt from all the troubles and trials of life. Jairus was a man of faith, and yet we find disease and tragedy entering into his home. And child of God, prepare yourself because trials will come into your life. And so I want this morning to draw your attention to Jairus, and especially to Jairus' faith. I want you to notice, firstly, in these words, the desire that drove him. Knowing the Savior had transformed many lives and restored many relationships, my Jairus now forgot the dignity of his office. Pulling up his official robes above his knees, he took to his heels, and running, he now fell down before the Lord. In so doing, you notice there the respect he revealed, stumbling forward through the crowd. We read in verse 22, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet." As leader in the synagogue, it was his job to select the readers and examining the discourses to make sure that everything was done decently and in order. While he was more accustomed to people falling down at his feet, yet we now find him falling down before the Lord. Lying at his feet, Matthew adds in his gospel, he worshiped him. And despite the pressures of his office, the needs of his dying daughter, he still took time to fall before and to worship the Lord. You see, before there can be an experiencing of the blessings of God, there must be a bowing before God, a falling and a worshiping at his feet. Indeed, Samus lifting his eyes and looking upon the wicked and seeing their prosperity, his heart almost failed him. Unable to understand how it was, the better he became, the worse things became. And the worse that evil men became, the better things became for them. He then finally said in Psalm 73, verses 16 and 17, "When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end." It was only when he came into the sanctuary of God, or he came into the place of worship, that his eyes were opened. And being opened, he suddenly realized that the prosperity of the wicked was not permanent, but only temporary. The best way to deal with trouble is not to flee from the house of God, but rather it is to flee to the house of God. It is at his feet that our sight is restored and our sorrows are relieved. Someone once asked Pastor Willie Mullen where it was that he had studied for the ministry. And thinking for a moment, he turned and he said that he studied at St. Mary's College. Of course, you'll remember that Mary, unlike Martha, took time to sit at the Savior's feet. And you see, believer, if you're going to know the presence, if you're going to know the power of God in your life, then there needs in times of trouble, times of trial, to be a running to the feet of the Savior. It is at his feet. It is as we worship him that our eyes are opened, our prayers are answered, and our souls are blessed. When troubles come and trials come and life seems to be thrown upside down, do what this man did. Run to the Lord. Fall down at his feet. Cast your burdens there upon him. Oh, believer, leave those burdens with him. Not only the respect he revealed, but we notice the request he registered, giving the Lord his proper place. We read in verse 23, "And besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hand on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." You notice there that little word, little. In verse 42, we're informed that she was only 12 years old. Seeing her burning up with fever and writhing in pain, this man was under no illusion. knowing in his heart that this time that she was not going to get well, he sought the Lord to touch her, and touching her, to change her. And in so doing, we're told there that he did it greatly, or he did it earnestly. You see, his cry for his daughter, it was a heart-breaking cry. It was a cry coming from the very agony of a soul. You see, as well as playing with our children, there needs in life to be a praying for our children, an earnest pleading with God for them from their very earliest days. Indeed, Job, lifting his eyes and seeing the dangers that were facing his own children. We read in Job chapter 1, verse 5, he rose up early in the morning and offered up burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Notice here that not only did he witness to his sons, telling them to cleanse their ways, but rising up early in the morning, he prayed for them. But notice that he prayed continually. There was not a morning that he did not pray for them. You want to see your family praying? Then I say to you, child of God, pray for your family. It's never too early to leave them before the Lord. Dr. Truett, the great preacher, on one occasion was asked to take the funeral of a 16-year-old girl. Coming into the home, the mother looked at him and she said, Dr. Truett, she was our only child. And seeking to comfort the grieving mother, he said, yes, but you sorrow not as others that have no hope. And the tears running down that mother's face, she said, that's the trouble. We have no such hope. Our daughter was not a Christian. And my, her stress increasing, she turned to Dr. Truett and she said, it's true that my husband and I were members of the church before she was born, but it's also true that our darling daughter lying in the casket never heard either of us praying. You see, our children, they're not only dying physically, but they are dead spiritually, and they are dying eternally. And father and mother, the best thing that you can give to your children is your prayers. Oh, many today have other ideas. They want their children to the best education, and there's nothing wrong with that. They want to give their children the best things in life. But listen, the best thing that you can give is your prayers. And this man, seeing his daughter, seeing her sliding down into the valley of death, he sought the Lord with all his heart. Oh, believer, pray. Pray for them. Not only the request he registered, but notice the resolve he revealed, setting his case before the Lord. We read in verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any farther? Just when he thought that he had gotten the Lord's attention, it was suddenly averted away by a woman taken with an issue of blood, stopping to heal this woman. The news then came. The tragic news. His daughter was dead. The crowd pushing in around him and offering up their sympathy. They no doubt urged him now to give up. Can't we hear them turning to him and say, sir, go home. Go home to be with your wife. Go home and embrace your lifeless child. Don't bother the Lord anymore. But pushing them aside, he refused to give up. And he continued to plead. You see, the difference between succeeding And failing in prayer is perseverance. As well as commencing to pray, there needs to be that continuing in prayer. Lifting his pen and urging the Ephesian believers to put on the whole armor of God. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6 in the verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The word perseverance here simply means to hold out to the end. In other words, he was saying, putting on the armor of God, don't give up. Pray on. You see, as well as praying earnestly, we need to pray endlessly. Continuing to pray when everyone is shouting amen. But continuing to pray when everyone tells us the case is hopeless. And telling us to keep quiet. Had the disciples not thrown that net over the side of the boat one last time, they would have come empty. They would have come empty. And maybe today, your child's condition is becoming worse. You see them slipping deeper into sin. You see them becoming more careless. You see them today, and they have not had the same interest they once had. What should you do? Pray. Pray on. Oh, this man had a desire. He wanted his daughter to live. And I wonder today, is that the desire of your heart for your children? That they who are dead in trespasses and sins, that they might live. That they might live. But I think we notice not only the desire that drove him, but I want you secondly to notice the delay that daunted him. A certain woman taken with an issue of blood, she reaching out, she touched the hem of the Savior's garment. The Lord turning to deal with her, this man's heart, no doubt was pained. I'm sure that the thought came to him in that moment. What about my daughter? My daughter is dying. However, you notice here the wonder revealed to him. Virtue flowing from the Savior. Read verse 29. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. If you look carefully and the passage, you'll discover several similarities between these two cases. Why this woman had been ill for 12 years, this young girl was 12 years of age. Not only were both of them becoming steadily worse, but both of them had experienced delays. This woman had been waiting for 12 long years. And while this girl had not been waiting that length of time, nevertheless, she still had been waiting. And now, seeing this woman being healed, Jairus's focus on the Lord and his faith would have been strengthened. He saw what the Lord could do, how he could heal this woman. You see, the seeming delays and disappointments of life are not without purpose. They're sent to not to undermine our faith, but to undergird our faith. Mary and Martha sending word that Lazarus was dying. We read in John 11:7. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And instead of hastening to Lazarus' aid, the Lord delayed. And while at that moment it no doubt seemed he doesn't care. My brother is dying. Yet by delaying, allowing Lazarus to die, then raising him to the fullness of life, he not only brought greater glory to his name, but their faith would have been strengthened. And while divine providence at times may be seen to be working against us. In reality, it's working for us. It's working for our good. During the American Civil War, the Confederate Army, being forced to retreat at the Battle of Gettysburg, General Lee wrote to Jefferson Davis. He wrote, "We must expect reverses, even defeats. They are sent to teach us wisdom and prudence, to call forth greater energies, and to prevent our falling into greater disasters." And perhaps there's something going on in your life this morning, and you've been praying, you've been crying unto God, but God has not moved, God has not intervened. You feel as if the Lord doesn't care. But I want to tell you, my friend, He's bringing you that way for a reason. Disappointments, delays, they work for our good. Jairus in that moment couldn't understand why. Why my daughter has died? Why are you standing dealing with this woman? And haven't we often in life been like that? We have been in trouble and we have been wondering, Lord, why? Where are you? But when we look back, we can see His hand. You see, believer, we're called to live by faith. The delays, there was a purpose in it. Not only the wonders revealed to him, but notice the way revealed to him. Luke tells us in his gospel, the chapter 8, verse 50, he answered him saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." If you compare this account with the other two Gospels, you'll find a series of commands. The first was, "Fear not." Then, telling Jairus to believe, he commanded them not to weep. Telling those who were mocking to give place, he then commanded this young girl to rise up. And while promising to make her whole, it only happened when every command had been obeyed. You see, attached to every promise, there is a precept. And without an obeying of the precept, there cannot be an enjoying of the promise. Indeed, promising Joshua good success. The Lord said in Joshua 1 verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." But why? Why did they not enjoy that promise? It was because we find them turning to the right hand and we find them turning to the left hand and not obeying the Lord. You see, the future is not as bright as the promises of God, but it is only as bright as our obedience to the promises of God. Where there is an obeying, then there'll be an overcoming. John Henry wrote, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." Believer, you want to see your prayers answered. You want to see those family members live. You want to see those workmates brought to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Then when the Lord says, "Go," you need to go. And when He says, "Do," you need to do. It was when they obeyed, the miracle happened. And maybe you've been praying, but God has been speaking. My friend, then there needs to be an obeying. There needs to be that bowing to the will of God. And that saying, "Lord, thy will be done." Not only the way, but notice the word revealed to him. Look at verse 36. He saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." Seeing the fear in his heart and sensing his disappointment, the Lord spoke to him. What did he do? He gave him a word. The only remedy against fainting is the fountain of truth, the word of God. Is your heart discouraged this morning? Are you amazed at the workings of God? Are you disappointed in the way that God has been working in your life? Not understanding? Then come to the book. Come read the scriptures. In them you'll find comfort. Not only the desire that drove him and the delay that daunted him, but I want you to notice lastly the deliverance that delighted him. The Lord Jesus entering into this man's home. Notice the privacy he required. Verse 40. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel. The word scorn there means to deride or to laugh at. These scorners were probably not members of the family. They were probably professional mourners. And the Lord, seeing and hearing their mockery, which rose from their unbelief, he demanded that they be driven out. And before there can be a raising of our loved ones, there must be a rejecting of unbelief, a driving of it out of our hearts. Unbelief filling the hearts of the men of Nazareth. What do we read? We're told that the Lord Jesus could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. And believer, this morning, all things are possible. But we must believe. Are you plagued with unbelief? Then you need to drive it out of your heart. How do you drive it out of your heart? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's by listening to God's word. It's by reading the scriptures. And if we're to see souls raised out of the grave of spiritual death into the fullness of life, we need to read his word. We need to drive unbelief out of our hearts. Not only the privacy, but notice the proof he required. Verse 43, and he charged them straitly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. The eating of food would have been proof that this was no vision, but that the young girl was now really alive. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking to prove his own resurrection, we're told in Luke chapter 24, verse 43, he took bread and he did eat it before all of them. You see, the eating of the bread was proof that this girl was alive, really alive. And if we are spiritually alive, we will have a spiritual appetite. There will be a longing for the word of God. And could I say, believer, if you have no desire to read the scriptures, no desire to come to hear the word of God, there's something wrong. This girl being made alive, she feasted. She feasted upon God's word. And believer, I say to you, feast upon the scriptures. Feast upon them every day. And then lastly, there was the provision he required. Look at verse 43. And he commanded that something should be given her to eat. Notice there, he didn't do for them what they could do for themselves. Being able to provide the food, he told them to go and get it. And seeing this young girl alive, they then sought to feed her. The Lord will never do for you what you can do for yourself. He will never send a miracle to heal you when the doctor can heal you. He will never bring people into the house of God or that person into the house of God while you can ask them. You see, God has a work for us to do. And this young girl, awakening, sitting up, they give her food. Then, believer, if you're on the Christian path a good long time, and you see souls converted, then you seek to feed them. You seek to feed them upon the Word of God. You seek to bracket the Scriptures and see them grow in grace and go on with the Lord. Here was a man, his daughter was dying and she died. But he brought her before the Lord. And all of us, we have family, friends, and spiritually dead. And if death was to come, they would be eternally dead. Oh, let us seek to bring them before the Lord. This young girl was dead. She was rotting, helpless. There's nothing she could do. She needed the Lord. And if you're here in this meeting today and you're not saved, can I remind you that you're spiritually dead? And there's nothing that you can do to save yourself. You need the Lord. Oh, I urge you today to seek Him and to know life. Life that's abundant. And life that is eternal. Amen. We're going to close our service by singing our final hymn. It's a hymn 669. Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear, calling the lambs who've gone astray far from the shepherd's fold away. Keeping our seats again while we sing this hymn. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the privilege that is ours of coming aside and sitting at Thy feet. We recognize, Lord, that we live in a fallen world. We smell the stench of sin and of spiritual death. But Lord, we pray that Thou would help us. Help us as the hymn writer to bring them in, to bring them to the cross where sins are washed away and dead souls are made alive. If there are those that are gathering outside of Thee, O God, we pray that this day that thou wouldst speak to their hearts, and they might look unto thee and be saved. So, Lord, part us now with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. For, Lord, we pray in thy name and for thy glory.